started here. 7:01. All right. Well, hello, everyone, and I want to thank you so much for joining us on this Monday, March 28th at 7:02 as we begin our Village of Galena Council meeting. So would you like to do a roll call?
Everybody's here but Eric.
Were there any questions, additions to the minutes of February 28th? If not, may I get a motion to approve the minutes of February 28th?
So moved.
And a second, please.
I'll second.
Thank you, Pat. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Minutes have been approved by for the February 28th date. All right. We have on the agenda here Ted Roussan regarding Rumford Park status, and Ted unfortunately is ill. So he's been battling a cold, so wish him well, but he's still working every day. So we've been super busy doing a lot of things, and I know Bill's going to address a lot of this in his report, but a couple of things that we've been diligently working on is getting the signs hung back on that bridge and getting a proper bridge inspection, and it takes a bucket truck and a welder and lots of things to happen there. So it's a little bit challenging. It's not like just throwing a sign up on the bridge and being done with it. So the other thing is that in that welding process, he has found that there are some of the, and Mark, I'll make sure I'm saying this correctly, the sewer caps that needed welded, stormwater sewer drain caps. No, just in on the roads in general, but there are a few that are broken that he wanted to have welded. Yeah, gotcha. I just want to make sure it's the right verbiage. So he's been super diligent with that. Also, as you know, due to the flooding, we had to close the playground equipment at Ruffner. There are definitely some deficiencies in that playground equipment, but the biggest issue is the playground mulch that's under the equipment that can cause potential risk. So we just wanted to make sure that we had those closed off. And just to reiterate that the Easter egg hunt is still at Ruffner Park. It's just that the playground equipment itself is not able to be played on. So that's unfortunate. But glad that we'll have Easter egg hunt there. And we are reevaluating what's going to be done with the playground equipment, whether we're just going to keep it in that old flood zone and keep working through this, or raise it to higher ground, or, you know, what we might do. So that's kind of ongoing. Also, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Ken. We had a bid opening as it relates to the building on Water Street.
Yes, we had two bids come in today. Today was the bid closed out at 3:30 today. Both bidders actually the high bidder was Thomas Watson at $20,000. So I prepared some legislation.
Any discussion at all as it relates to that? Would you like to move forward this evening?
Do we have any information as far as potential timelines that I don't know?
Yeah.
You mentioned, hey, we're going to do
it. It is. He's the only abiding property.
Are both of the bidders joining property owners?
Are both of them? No, just Tom.
And who's the other one? Just wondering, can we only sell it to the adjoining property owners? Okay.
So would you guys like to act on that this evening? Okay. Do we want to take a vote on that, Ken, or?
Yes, we can fill that in. Basically, all it says is that this was a successful bidder, this is the price, and we're going to close by giving you the deed. Remember, you advertised this as is, where it is, add on the back, and that's it. So, just a reminder, there was something there, I think, for the historical society, or John Bland mentioned there.
Everything's been taken out.
Great.
So if we go with the ordinance number.
So 2022-07.
So it reads,
you need the pump.
Yeah, I guess I should.
Ordinance
22-07. Title of the ordinance is an ordinance accepting the offer to purchase 50 South Front Street by Thomas Watt for $20,000 and declaring an emergency, whereas council pursues the previous authorization ordinance number 2021-17, offer to sale. Premises for sale, a minimum $17,500 and a deposit $2,000 and other terms set forth in this solicitation. It was advertised for sale according to the law. The bid opening occurred March 28th, in accordance with the encouragement. And a successful bidder for a price which council approves. Council is therefore named by council. Section 1, council accepts the bid to purchase this premises for the sum of $20,000 presented by Thomas J. Watt. Section 2 is the open meeting clause. Everything clause is having an open meeting standard clause. Section 3 is the emergency clause, indicating an emergency simply because it has to be accepted or rejected before the next regular council. Vote on rules. Questions?
I'll move to suspend the rules.
Roll call vote, please.
Back.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Kath.
Ruben.
Yes.
And Eric.
Yes.
And may I get a motion to approve accepting ordinance number 2022-07? Sorry, was that?
Motion.
Oh, thank you, Eric. And a second vote.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mike. All right, again, roll call vote, please.
Kathy?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Zach?
Yes.
Well, the ordinance number 2022 has been approved and ran as an emergency. Congratulations, Mr. Ross. Is there anything that you want to ask or have any questions about? Really any time. So if you want to stop by tomorrow, we've got keys. We'll need to just close on that before we hand over the keys, but we're not going to let you in. Okay. Absolutely. All right. Chief Kovac, unfortunately, is not able to be with us this evening, but just thinks to be at our next meeting. So we've got a team over here of Mark Ruffer and Bill Vance, who will be walking through the sewer rate discussion. There has been, I can't tell you the immense amount of work that has gone into this to get to this point. We should be honored and proud and admire all of the work between finance and these gentlemen that have been done to propose something that systems make a lot of good sense. And obviously, we'll leave that up to you all. But I will pass it over to you. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to share my screen first. That's all right.
Is there a button here that will
switch back? That could be, yes. Take a peek at that because it does tell me that I'm sharing my screen. So I'm hey, Mark, I'll go ahead and have you just, I'm not sure if we're going to get on there, but we can certainly talk to it.
Sure. I can just go through that.
Okay, sounds great. I have a feeling it needs to be completed.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so if you guys want to get started on the Galena Wastewater Treatment Plan.
Sure. So, yeah, first of all, there's been a lot of good input from the mayor, from Bill, the administrator, from the finance committee. Developed a proposal here. I'm going to kind of run through some of the reasons we're taking a look at this, the rate, and then some of the options that we have available to us. So, first page, the Galena Wastewater Treatment Plan information. Kind of answers the question, why was there a new plant built? So, 2015, EPA issued a warning saying the plant getting close to capacity, you don't really have much room for development. At that point, the village started looking at options for, okay, what can we do to prepare for development that would come at the time. Much of that has come. There's still obviously going to come, but they took a look at their options. They looked at a number of different options, from my understanding, including pumping to other locations, different types of wastewater treatment plants, and they ended up going with a membrane reactor because it would fit on the site and it would provide a very environmentally friendly discharge. So in 2020, that plant was successfully constructed and began operation. The total cost of the plant was $5.5 million. The last note there is just to think about how each community is different. So just because the city of Columbus or Sunbury or any other community pays a certain rate doesn't mean that applies to any other community. Each community is different and based on their specific needs and costs. So page two. This talks about debt service. The annual Galena debt payment is estimated at around $300,000. And I say estimated right now because loan has not been completely closed out, so we won't have a final annual amount until that loan is closed out, but it should be closed out very shortly. As a comparison, 2021, your annual sewer customer revenue was $370,000. So the rate paid by your sewer customers totaled $370,000.
That's why the 2022 Galena Sewer Fund has budgeted. So this just provides an overview of the budget that you've all spent quite a bit of time getting ready, looking at for 2022. Operation and maintenance is estimated at $670,000. Your annual debt payment, as I noted before, $300,000. Annual cost of other system-wide improvements, around $64,000. And then there are $66,000 worth of planned sewer projects. That gives you a total budgeted expenditure of $1.1 million. Next slide. So, 2021, you brought in $370,000. Your 2022 budget is $1.1 million. That gives you a deficit of $730,000. A couple things to note here. This does not take into account tap fees. Right now, we're projecting tap fees, about 39 tap fees this year. And each of those tap fees is $8,000. But really, that money is shouldn't be counted on to cover all of your costs. You need to be using that to save for expansion, for down the road, repairs, stuff like that. So the next slide is sewer fund reserve. At the end of 2021, at $2.2 reserves. And those reserves come from tap fees that have been paid by some of the developments that's happened recently. The state of Blackhawk, Retreat of Dust, Arrowhead Lake. But to note that if there's no new development or no adjustment to spending, based on our current projections, those reserves will be gone in about 3 years. Okay, so next slide, the sewer customer rate. I'm going to kind of focus here on residential customers. There's 367 residential sewer customers. You have other customers, commercial, industrial, campground. You have a master meter associated with condos, but kind of looking at those single-family residential just for comparison right now. Each one of the residential sewer customers currently pays a $60 flat fee per month for village-provided sewer service. That flat fee is noted here is not based on any type of consumption. If you're in a house, you pay $60. And that the actual fee is like $59.49. So if we go to the next slide, the group, finance committee, the mayor, the administration, all kind of looked at options to make the sewer fees based on consumption to a certain extent, but still provide assurance that we're going to bring in the money that's needed to make this work. So Bill actually initially had recommended looking at a blended sewer rate, something that he had looked at in the past, previous experience. So that's kind of the route we went. Blended rate, it would be based on a monthly water consumption using information from Delco's Galena Water customers. And then what we looked at was an initial flat fee. So for the first 2,000 gallons, you would pay a flat fee, and then any additional usage above 2,000. So for each additional 1,000, you would pay another per 1,000. The number that we came up with was $45 per month for the flat fee for the first 2,000 gallons, and then $8.81 for each additional 1,000 gallons. So to compare some of those numbers, well, first of all, on the next slide, we talk about the average Galena residential customer. That's approximately 4,000 gallons. We're going to use that 4,000 gallons moving forward to kind of give an idea what someone using 4,000 gallons is paying. On the next slide, we talk about that for the first 2,000 is $45 a month, and each additional, the additional 2,000 gallons, for each $8.81, we end up with another $7.62. So you end up with a fee of $62 to $62 per month to use 4,000 gallons of water. So on the next slide, if you are a customer that uses 2,000 or less, you would save $15 per month on your sewer bill based on what you're paying today. The next slide talks about that irrigation. So we looked at, we realized that if we go to a water consumption base, that there is irrigation, that water does not go down in the Galena sewers. We're not treating that water. So we looked at some options. One of the options that, the one that makes the most sense is a option where we average 9 months water usage for each residential property owner. And then we use that average for the 3 months of highest irrigation, which in looking at that, we determined that July, August, and September would be the highest month. So those 3 months, instead of paying for your full consumption, you would pay the average of the other 9. And there are other potential options to address irrigation, but unfortunately for Galena and working with Delco, we don't have any type of a deduct meter option available to us. The village could do it on their own, but it'd be extremely expensive and really just cost prohibitive. So the final slide here compares what you brought in last year with what you would have brought in if you were using the rate that we're recommending, the blended rate. So in 2021, 370, you did a blended sewer rate based on the 2021 water consumption. You bring in 439,000. And then if you incorporate the irrigation rate into that, bring in about 420,000. So we use 2021 numbers because we compare those completely across the year. We have 100% of the water data from Delco to compare those. Bill, anything you'd like to add?
Yes. The sewer funds, it is an enterprise fund, so ideally it needs to be self-balancing. Currently the status is we're projecting expenditures in the amount of $1.1 million. Revenues annually come in about $400,000 total. There's a deficit with $2 million in reserve. As Mark pointed out, that just gives us about 3 years. The goal of this process, we knew that eventually the only, dependable solution to get out of this financial situation or improve the situation in a positive manner is to add more customers to share the burden associated with the debt with this fantastic new sewer plant, which is going to take care of the future of this village for years to come. But we have to get through the short term where we can make sure that it does not bankrupt our sewer fund. So with that in mind, worked on a blended rate to take into account that currently everybody pays $60 for a sewer in Galena. Whether or not you're a family of 4, 5, or 6 using 10,000 gallons of water a month, or a retired couple of 2 using 800 gallons of water a month, the new capacity of the wastewater treatment plant is an absolute commodity for the village of Galena. It has a definite value to it, but if everybody pays $60 a month and much of that capacity as you desire, it loses its value. So the mayor was interested in having me investigate and work closely with Mark and the finance committee to do so, placing a value on that capacity that was created with the successful wastewater treatment plant project. And if you're going to have a value associated with something, you have to measure it by consumption. More you're looking to pay, and then that's pretty much just how it goes, you know, with anything in life. So we couldn't make the jump from $370,000 a year all the way to $1.1 million. That's just not financially realistic, so we wanted to get towards the halfway point. And we landed at approximately $440,000, and we started to work with that figure, and we came up with a couple proposals for your consideration, including the irrigation component. And my last thoughts on this matter at this point in time. If the council desires to go forward, the next appropriate step, is, as far as I professionally see it, would be to have a public hearing opportunity. So I don't think anybody from staff is requesting that the council take any kind of action.
So how long are the things?
I believe it's a 20-year, 30-year.
It was $300,000 that I mentioned in the 30-year. Well, the loan hasn't closed yet. I think you've made two payments so far.
It's not
at least 28 years.
Definitely.
Yeah. Get a little extra time, otherwise, yeah.
That's where the double-edged sword comes in, as I mentioned. That's why this is so incredibly important to understand and how it relates to development and our density. Okay? So that's everything. Like, this is everything. This is our biggest asset we have in the village. Thank you, Tom Hoffman. And, you know, it really is something that is imperative that as we message and talk about things, that this is what it's all about. And so the more rooftops, and I'm not saying to go crazy on density, we have those stringent zoning codes in place for a reason. But with that, we also have to recognize that if we don't get those rooftops, then we're going to find ourselves in trouble in a very short period of time.
Question. Oh, sorry, Kathy, go ahead.
I was just going to say, at what point did we going to have to add on?
Well, that's the number that we were talking about before, number of roofs.
Yeah. Well, I think it was like around 1,091. I don't remember. I'm going off my memory.
That's fine.
Let's just say 1,100.
Yeah.
And currently, you're at 560.
So 1,100 more.
No, that's
total.
Yeah, so approximately 550.
Before it gets to that point. The question then would be, if we get those additional 640-odd taps, would that be enough to pay for the current deficit?
Break even.
Mayor, if I may. We also talked about it, the development team, with inflation these days, now would be the perfect time for us to take a look at actually what we're charging for sewer taps in Galena, and to come up with a study to substantiate whatever potential additional charges the council may want to consider going forward.
Was there any precedent for, we all know what development means to our residents. Is there any precedent for a sewer tax, something that could be proposed to go to the people and say, look, because development's a hot button issue, and so are raising sewer rates. So you're always going to get the blood pressure rising a little bit. But if you're able to go to the people and say, you know, look, this is a third option. You know, you want to live here, you like it quaint, we all do, you know, have to pay for this. Extremely valuable asset. Is there any kind of precedent for that in a village our size, you know, that we could draw from to say, you know what, nothing crazy, but, you know, would you be willing to pay a little bit extra in your taxes, in your local taxes, to pay for the sewer plant? Is that?
I think one of the things that we talked about a little bit is this growth pays for growth.
Sure, yeah.
And so with growth pays for growth, growth that comes in is what is expected to take on that extra burden, not the people that currently live there.
I'm just saying
in general.
Yeah.
And so not to say anything against what you're saying at all. But with that, being able to do what we talked about is that when we do get these development meetings, is that we talk about the opportunity to pay your tax fees. And so they may have the opportunity to buy, let's say they're going to buy for bill $336,000. If you would like $336,000 today, we'd be happy to give them the estate rate. And so that is one solution. Okay, kind of blending it into
sure.
what you're saying about that tax rate, if you will.
Yeah, it's just something else. You know, again, I think people like options, and the more transparent that we can be with anything that can be put on the table, I think will be helpful. And also, maybe get what we all want, you know. So, you know, a lot of different townships and villages and municipalities, small and large, they all pay a little bit more here and there for their services, and it's something that I think that as we grow and as we have to pay for this, those discussions should probably be at some level.
I got an offer today to essentially put a tax on the bridge for a donation so that we could. Those different papers. Hey, there's lots of ideas out there.
Oh, sure.
Like, hey, if you're willing to do it. Back to something.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought the sugar plant was designed that when the Miller farm got fully built, that stage one of it was mostly, if not completely, basic. Wasn't that the case?
Yeah, if you add 200 new customers, it would definitely make a positive improvement. There's just there's an issue with boring the sewer line under an environmentally sensitive area that still needs to be worked out. The village itself has not determined what that time frame is going to be with Miller Farm. But yes, if you create 200 additional customers, they pay impact fees and then they become contributing members of the sewer system on a monthly basis. That would make a dramatic and very positive effect on the budget.
That's why we talk about the build-out time that they have proposed to us currently is 10 years. And so that's why build-out is so important, and that's why we only have 39 half teams, because it would be coming tentatively from Miller Farm, 39. So each year, so unfortunately we don't get all of them at one time, and that's why we talk about it in development. It's about incentivizing them per se, just if you would like to buy them all at today's prices, because we can't guarantee that we're not going to raise our half teams next year or the year after.
There's a sweet spot, right, as we grow, and then our numbers are still under what's required to expand the facility and get closer to that comfortable place where, hey, we're bringing more money on the community. And as we, if you can keep, as much as you can, for those numbers, but ahead of that, so if there needs to be adjustments, we're talking, 5-6 years in the future, but there's going to come a time where we're trying to get out of this herd and get into another. We want to live in that zone as long as possible to work ahead.
Well, it gives us the opportunity to be, measured in how we grow.
Sure.
That would lead me to say, thank you,
first off, so much for getting that
number.
Yeah, that number is huge. Next question would be, how many do we need to get to pay the bill to break? Is it an extra 640 right up to where we need to expand it? Or is it maybe $200 less? That would be my next number that I'd be really interested in.
That's something I should do a little bit more
sure.
work on.
Sure.
That's something we can definitely
do. Great.
And that's why it's kind of a rate for capacity, if you will, as these developers come in, and we currently know that Stockstein is vetting the opportunity at Arrowhead with contract pending approval for the village, as they try to work things out, and getting a sense for maybe how many cap trees they're going to need. We have a good sense on exactly what Miller Farms is going to need. That's why we've been so careful what's going to happen at Blackhawk, what's going to happen at their campground. Are there other areas that people are looking develop and then, kind of what's left of that Blackhawk and the very future. So all of those things take precedence. So if a large area of land perhaps is not developed as we have anticipated, what kind of impact does that have for us, and kind of where do we get it on the other side? So that's why as we try to time all of these out, imperative to watch those trends, right? That's what we constantly watch. Markets constantly doing that and living in that real time of how these things are going to affect each other. So every time we have these meetings, it's like, okay, well, so-and-so is interested in this and thinks that there might be approximately this number of rooftops. So now we could maybe add that into the number. Oops, that didn't happen. Got to take it out.
Yeah.
So it's an ongoing project.
Right, and Mayor, you kept us pointed in this direction, and it might be an appropriate time for some sort of consensus understanding that your interim village administrator will work with Mark and the mayor to get some sort of proposal associated with a comprehensive sewer study to bring back to the council for your discussion, to include tap fees and the finances associated with what the tipping point is. The number of residential customers.
That's what the next step is, for sure. Any other questions at all? Is it going to be like the director of a public hearing then?
Yeah, I do.
Do you feel the thing is very clear? Is there anything additional that you'd like in the data?
Yeah, I would like to note on the record that I don't want a sewer tax. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Anybody who knows me,
we're advocating for that.
Anybody who knows me, I am keep the taxes low guy. But but when you're coming to pushing and shoving and yanking and and especially with development, that's not been an issue as it is and how important it is to all of us. That's where my mind goes with that. So
I wanted to say it for the record.
I appreciate that perspective. No one wants another tax.
Exactly. Nobody does.
But they agree to
say, well, I don't want this over here. Well, there's another option for you. You know, absolutely.
So with our tax fees being 8,000, how do our tax we're actually low to mid. You know, there are those in the 9,000, I think somebody's in the 9,000 range. We have all the tax fees for the 9,000. So, you know, we are kind of right in the middle. We're not too high, not too low. What would it take to make it a priority that we have to before we get all these other requests from us?
A study.
A what?
A study to substantiate.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to, there always has to be a, you know, a study or something done so that we can substantiate and they come back to us. Like, we're going to get that number from. I just felt like it. I mean, you know, unfortunately, that doesn't happen.
I'd like to see that.
And the one thing that we have to always think about in Galena is there is limited land space to develop. And so, you know, once we get to that number, to that capacity, we're done. And so, and by that time, we will need a land expansion. And so, what does that look like?
That's what
we're
talking about. Now we're over that limit. We have to expand. So, again, so as how we manage that process, I would say let's go on study.
That's kind of where my thought process is. Like always the end goal. Like we don't have a lot of land here, so if we were to get out of control with needing more and more and more, needing to upgrade before you know, density is through the roof. I mean,
it gives us a chance to be ahead of this. I want to note again, like, we're a little bit different as far as how we handle this. With this number, how Columbus or Western will handle something like this, because they have a different number of people and I share the difference with, you know, thousands of people. So,
they are, because of their application, that they are at the 8,000. they're already
but yeah, but the next
but the next one.
Right. Like the next one.
So that's where timing's a little tough because first we got to find money in the budget for a study. We got to find out who's going to do the study. We all have to vote on it. You know, what kind of cost would you expect for the study? I don't know. Do you have any ideas for that, though?
Yeah, well, I would just like to pursue it, but I think it's not going to be, it's going to be a significant expense, a serious expense, I would say, you know, 10,000, 15,000. It will absolutely pay for itself, and you have to have something in place to substantiate any kind of increase, because a realistic possibility once you increase something is development interest will come back to make a contrary argument, so you have to have all your T's crossed and I's dotted to make sure that you enter position.
So, do you think all of Miller's farm is already guaranteed to get down?
Yeah.
It's just because it's been in process for so long. And the development, you know, has been approved.
So, all that you do is in front of the
other. That's right.
So, in the spirit of thinking ahead, are there any areas around here that
Blackhawk is the only one at this time, and then beyond there, Blackhawk doesn't annex in, and then there's nothing that's contiguous among itself. So the only thing potentially, I should say that, to back up. So is that if you go the other way, you're on death, and you have to actually go across the street. That could make it feel a little bit more interesting. That obviously has been for sale for years and years, and they will get it. But not to say that because it's a whole different world right now. So there are a few areas that are contiguous with the village because as we looked at Miller Farm, for example, and going to the church and then, you know, there's a house and then you have Sage Creek. We looked very carefully at the map there to see if there was any contiguous areas there. So beyond Sage Creek, there's 700 acres there, 400 acres is already open to them for preservation and so, you know, maybe not that that would have come into the village, I probably would have bought it. So. But, so yeah, so that's why I talk about very limited land space.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Great. I want to thank you both immensely, seriously. I mean, I do know, and I just, Bill and Mark together have worked so hard for this, and then they've also been working, and Mark has been incredible working for this next ordinance that we're going to speak about with the PA and MF4 permits and all that good stuff. So it is a pleasure to work with you. There's not a day that goes by that I don't talk to these guys.
And final point, the public hearing will be at the next regular meeting, April 25th.
April 25th, great. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll work with Ken to.
Perfect. All right. So, and with this, and you will find this evening that several of the ordinance will be need to be read on our state basis to financial reasons or permitting reasons. So, ordinance number 2022-05, first reading of an emergency and ordinance updating the village of Galena stormwater regulations for permit and declaring an emergency. So are there any questions about that, or Mark, is there anything that you'd like to address about that?
I'd like to go over. Happy to go over what this stuff all means, if you'd like me to, or if you just want to go through it.
Can you just do a real quick high level on that?
I'll just talk about all three of the ordinances quickly. This is all coming about because Galena, I believe it was back in 2016, were noted by Ohio EPA to be a urbanized area. You had to then get a permit with EPA for stormwater. We call it the MS4 permit. MS4 separate storm. Basically, all urbanized areas throughout the state of Ohio have to get a permit with EPA. There are what's called six minimum control measures. Those control measures are basically things that you have to comply with. So, in April of 2021, a new permit came out. There's typically 5-year terms. You can say usually it's late getting them out, but you're not allowed. But part of that permit is you had to update your regulations, your stormwater regulations, to get compliance with what they call the construction general permit. That's for construction activities. Where anything that's over an acre of disturbance, the village, you're required to oversee that disturbance and make sure that those individuals are complying with their permit. So an update to regulations would be to comply with the EPA. And then probably the biggest part of that is the second ordinance, it's a 5-year plan. So EPA wants a plan that we submit to them here for the next week that basically stipulates how the village is going to comply with the permit in 5 years. So there's a public education component, a public outreach component. Both of those are actually handled by soil and water. That's what the third ordinance is related to. We put soil and water, and they provide those services. If you know, that agreement's actually backdated to January of 2021. The reason for that is that agreement was supposed to be brought to you last year and signed, and it never was. Well and Water did provide the services. They provided us the documentation we need for the TVA. So our recommendation is to go ahead and backdate.
So I want to thank you for helping Mark get in that direction and doing that. And Mark, thank you so much because of Mark's excellent standing with the EPA. He was really in the state. He's been able to strengthen these relationships and get the role in the way that it needs to. So thank you. That's it. Any questions? All right. So with that, I would like to get a motion to suspend the rule for ordinance number 2022-05.
So moved.
Thank you, Todd. And Eric, thank you for the second. Roll call vote, please.
Scott. Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben.
Yes.
Eric. Kathy?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Zach?
Yes.
Ordinance number 2022-05 has been approved and read as an emergency. Ordinance number 2022-06, first reading emergency, is ordinance completing Village of Galena stormwater 5-year plan as part of the MS4 permit declaring an emergency. May I get a motion to and the rule.
So moved.
Thank you. Second.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
And Zach.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion has passed. I have read it. Thank you. Resolution. Adopted. Resolution number 2022-07, first reading as an emergency. A resolution, did I miss it? Oh, I'm sorry, did I forget that part? I'm so sorry, guys. Moving right along. May I get a motion to adopt ordinance number 2022-06? Thank you, Susan. You, Eric? Roll call vote.
Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Zach.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone. Try that again. Motion has been adopted and read as an emergency for ordinance number 2022-06. Resolution number 2022-07, first reading as an emergency, a resolution authorizing a working agreement between the Delaware Soil and Water Conservation District and the Village of Galena and declaring an emergency. Again, this will need to be read as an emergency.
Second.
Thank you, Todd. All right. Roll call vote, please.
Zach.
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion is passed. Resolution 2023-2027 be read as an emergency. Now may I get a motion to adopt resolution number 2023-2027?
I'm just going to keep saying 2022-2027. May I get a motion?
Thank you, Eric. And a second, please.
Second.
Thank you, Mike. Roll call vote, please.
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Thank you. Resolution number 2022-07 has been adopted and read as an emergency. Good evening. Is there any guest participation at all? I know we have some folks with us tonight. Is there anybody who has anything to say? Well, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate that. All right. So I will touch on my report here. Mayor's report was a little bit lengthier than usual. A lot going on with community activities. The playground committee, I'm sure Eric will have more of an update on that, but it's coming together nicely, and Eric has taken a wonderful lead on that, getting a committee together. I did want to put directly down here the actual response, and I will go ahead and read it out loud for those in the audience. I did request a capital improvement grant for $350,000 for new playground equipment. And so the most recent response to that, when I asked, you know, when are we going to know something, is now that submissions for capital funding requests are due into our offices, members will begin working to compile the requests they have received and share them with other members of the caucus as a whole. That will take place in April. Members will then review how much funding is available for each project and make final determinations on what projects are eligible for capital funding. Once this process is complete, the capital budget bill will be introduced and go through the normal legislative process. The timetable for this is not immediately clear, particularly as the legislature will once again have to focus on redistricting. Our office is excited to move forward with this process as well, and I will be sure to reach out if I have any more definitive updates. Aaron Reagan, she's the senior legislative aide for the state senator, Andrew Fletcher. So very much appreciate the work that they've done to help us get as much recognition for this project as possible. The fact that the Galena Foundation has been resurrected and that we are able to accept charitable funds and the Galena Fall Gathering will help contribute to this process was a big move towards that grant. They were very excited to hear that we would be able to put some money towards that. Speaking of, put in here so you can see the new Galena Fall Gathering logo. I wish many of you were here to see. We had several renditions of the logo and lots of different opinions. So everybody that we came across, we had six different ones. We had them rate them. I had to go back to it. I had a bunch of people at Center Service do it. So you'll see a couple of them with the merchandise and things, but that is the main logo there. So pretty cool. Nice and cool. The Galena Fall Gathering is actually moving along extremely well. The date has changed from October 2nd, 22nd to the 15th. The change will have been by weekend. That's not only our Galena Fall Gathering, but weddings and everything else on that particular day. So this has been a great opportunity for Galena to work with the Big Walnut Civic Association. They have been incredible to work with, I have to say. All of the money will be going through the Civic Association, insurance, alcohol permit, everything, of course, it will all come back to council to discuss that. But as far as the actual process and physical checks, what will happen is that they, at the end of the event, will write a check to the Galena Foundation and a check to the council. So it's very clean, very, very transparent. Anybody can look at anything at any time. So all of those transactions. Kathy Belcher, who is also the fiscal officer for Sunbury, is overseeing that process, as she's always done for the civic, Big Walnut Civic for any events that they have. Cindy Earth, part of that organization, has also been incredibly helpful to us. The Civic Association will not be receiving any money, as all of this is charitable-based donation going to sponsors, again, Teletonia and the Village of Galena Playground Fund. So, but they've just been very helpful from everything from lights and barriers to all of the finance. They work with, like, instead of what is it, Square for payment, they have a Clover and Huntington, which is going to be very
good things happening there. We've chosen Superior Beverage to provide alcohol for the event. We have gotten as much donation and already, without really even talking about them, some of the people that have been involved in the event have started to want to give us donations. Jesse Teal was very kind from the Columbus Church to give us a donation the other day. He's actually our very first one. So you know, lots of great things happening there. I've been very, very tightly connected with the SCNG along with the MS and Delaware Sheriff along with the Delaware County Engineer. They were out the other day to talk about various things, to look at making sure that our road closures are appropriate. All of those will continue to have these meetings. Delaware County Engineer obviously has to be very involved in the size of the event with other road closures. Safety is my very number one thing. That's my absolute number one thing. There'll be no compromise on that. And it is our most biggest expense, so because of the number of police officers that we'll want to have on. So just a quick comment there. As we talk about the playground equipment, we are ideally, if we get the right amount of money, we'd like to do both Miller and Rufford, if possible, depending, again, on what they all decide to do with Rufford. So also, the Historic Foundation Flea Market will be happening this year at Miller Park, and vendor applications are available at the village, so please feel free to tell people and share the information. I'll be putting that out on social media as well.
If they get any thoughts, maybe moving that park to the square because it's sold there.
Right.
My husband is in the place. Just up there. Don't even know what's going on. Put it on the square. And
well,
it's like board while all the traffic is going to the Sunbury Parade.
Absolutely. So we certainly talk to John and Sharon. They'll be here at the next meeting. And I think they'd love that request. And I think that maybe they just have thought of it, you know?
So would council go find that, approve that, wherever.
It makes sense if you want to draw people to be engaged.
Of course, the recommendation of council through the finance committee
adding a piece to the playground. Hey, we do all of this one year at huge expense and hope that, you know, grants are going to come to that kind of thing. But that's lovely, but at the same time, we can just make part of our year.
I think it's 20 right now. And just to give you a sense, but I have to repair the slide that has the hole in it, which I have no idea how that slide got a hole in it. But it's $3,000 or $6,000. Yeah, one of those $3,000 or $6,000 can just towards the section of the slide. And, you know, you're starting to get to the point too where they simply don't make that compatible anymore. You can't just get a slide popping up there. So, it's a lot. Yeah.
So that was kind of the point I was going to make next while we're making suggestions to the council. I know we've all thought of it, but with Intel going in and with all the development that's coming, we do need to eventually take up the tough task of what are we going to do for policing in our village. You know, it's a discussion that we're going to have here over the next year or two, I would imagine, because as development comes, more people come. We, Delaware County, 20 minutes out. I have a patrol car every once in a while, but I've heard that a lot from the residents that I talk to, so something that we discuss officially. Not to be a buzzkill.
That's
not as fun as playground equipment. No, that's twice. That's twice today. First strike.
He just told you on a roll.
We yanked that cord out of the back of his mic.
So, for all you guys, I think most of you there have kids in school or playing sports, but met with a really cool guy, Danny Schumann, along with Joe St. John, Mayor of Sunbury, for their request to be engaged a program that parents are starting called the Big Woman Initiative, Raising Leaders Through Youth Sports. And the kickoff meeting is April 25th. And so they have all kinds of plans for that evening. Joe and I will be saying some very brief words, thanking everyone for being there. And it is a council night. So I may be a little late. So Ruben, all right, just a touch on master plan and zoning code review. We have decided at this point that we will be sending that over to Delaware County Regional Planning. So, excuse me, once Allison gets back from vacation, she'll have that ready to roll, and I'll send that up to them, and then they should be able to turn that around to us in about a month or so, giving us any feedback that they see fit there. And again, that's the master plan. And so, regarding development, going on. Met with the planning team for Mount Carmel Health regarding building a very small medical center in Galena, potentially at Arrowhead. When I do say small, I mean something to the effect of like a small strip center that may have like a primary care, an intermediate care, and perhaps one other front, building front, which could be a restaurant, it could be a lab core, it could be a little bit of something.
Just to get a visual, I guess, is it something the size of, say, the urgent care, right over by Donato,
yeah.
You think something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're waiting for more rooftops, but they would definitely like an area that they can expand from.
Yeah.
And so we did talk to them, too, about across the street, if you guys recall, at Galena Crossing or Primrose's, because space there for two office buildings. They would want to partner there. So we put Mount Carmel and Texas up. So that's kind of where they're thinking from there, but they are very interested in their time. Just to reiterate and to clarify, Arrowhead is in contract. It is not sold. It is in contract pending approval by trustee, and the development plan has not been submitted at all yet. We're still working on that. Hasn't been planned on zoning or anything like that. Haven't seen any schematics. So, also, we met with the City of Columbus regarding drilling under Walnut Creek and found some excellent solutions to forward the progress of the Miller Farms project. That was a very big call, and I think we had all the right people on there. We have all the right people on there, so they're making some progress. And we're just waiting for some of their group from the Miller Farms to bring back various requirements. Then we talked about the finance meeting, discussed the sewer range. Also, as we were talking about various studies, those based on, again, Mayor Sunbury joined us at our development meeting to discuss the company's initial advice, who was instrumental in helping Sunbury determine impact fees for development. And so that is something that we'll be talking to Fish Advice about, potentially doing something with impact fees if it makes sense. So we'll probably talk about that a little further out of development. One of the things that's just a little bit concerning is how many developments are left to have an impact fee call. So, you know, that's something that we'll work towards. The sewer and wastewater treatment plant, Tom Marshall came in. They're buying an inventory management software system for the water treatment plant that has been budgeted, and it's going to be excellent, like an asset management program. So they'll be able to look at everything in the wastewater treatment plant along with the maintenance vehicles. Everything will go into that, and it'll help with warranties and when we need things to turn and various procedures that need to be placed on, like on a monthly basis, so they'll track it. And March 22nd, Todd and I met with the City of Columbus Natural Resource and Asset Manager, Tina Moan, and her partner, Rosalie. Our conversations regarding the Mark Boardwalk project, we're just thrilled to have been part of the project and be considered as part of this conversation. And their first step is to acquire an RFP for an environmental impact study. And asked if that had already been done, you know, set the bridge in, to make the same one, but I think it's been quite some time. So we had a lot of good takeaways. There's nothing concrete, but it does appear that the bridge is going to close in our portal. Something for another, it's a little hard to swallow. It's just, you know, it's probably going to have to be taken out towards our date. It's not a situation where it's just a money thing, it's not a COVID thing. It is frankly a date. So, if you ever see anybody out there, someone, someone said no. So,
I haven't been there.
Oh, yeah. And it's actually
been long.
Yeah.
That's just something. I've done something before.
Yeah. I think now most people, I haven't seen anybody in there for a long time. Just an FYI, so the diner was closed for a few days to advance for construction. Had a little bit of that on Friday. The guys who were doing the patio in the back had a forklift. They thought they were moving the trash bin over a little bit to access it. It's actually grease crap. And it fell in. And grease went sliding down. So there were several homeowners there who were, oh, let's say upset. Vic was mortified and immediately, you know, got up. He let us know about it. The company did it, is very actively getting that cleaned up. They got a lot cleaned up, but it has to have now some type of a treatment. We were laughing that probably every dog in Salinas over there looking at the street. Exactly. But one of the issues, though, as part of that cleanup is that it's in the pool, and so with whatever chemicals we're putting on there. So, anyways, Nick has been just right on it, trying to get everything done that he's working with. We're also understood the need to get that immediately cleaned up. So I just wanted to let everybody know about that. More things, attended the State of the Region meeting. That was great. One of the big emphasis was the keynote was all about broadband, lack of broadband in the area. So, actually, John and I are talking about some initiatives to check out. I think one of the easiest ways to find out lack of broadband is and so one may not think that in Salina that anybody's got internet, that's not necessarily the case. So and then tomorrow morning, I just want to re-invite you all. I know that you all have got an email from the Eastern Region for the work you can do. We'll be meeting right here in the chamber at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Thank you, Bill, for working with Eileen. They'll have coffee and various things, and they're expecting about 50 people.
Correct. Was it 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock?
9 o'clock. 9:30. I think you're right, 9:30. Pick a number. Yeah. Thank you. So either way, I'll be here. And so I'm going to say some very quick welcoming remarks, and then they'll take it away. But I think it'll be very interesting because our Eastern Region, Johnstown, Arlo, you know, those folks that have this help come. One of the things we talked about at North Beach was starting smaller than regional or area related weekly meetings with some of the people to see how things are going to be impacted. I happened to sit with some Johnstown folks at the Morphe meeting, State of the Region, and they're building a new sewer plant, so they wanted to come over here and take a peek at the sewer plant. And so Tom was challenges that, you know, some of those folks will face. Delaware County Regional Planning is March 31st and 31st. Okay, that's for me. So, with that being said, let's see, Bill.
Yes, Mayor, I submitted a written report, and I would welcome any questions.
Thank you, Bill. As the day doesn't go by, then Bill and I are chatting about something. That's amazing. Kathy, you have
a little bit. I didn't know. Right. Well, they didn't know I was taking notes. Sorry, but speak to the right-of-way that's coming along. Right-of-way program.
Correct. The contractor that we had, Mr. Sandine, that helped us get that program started, estimated annual revenues of $18,000 to $20,000. I'm working to find, you know, the specifics associated with that projection, but I have initiated working with Ted to verify the areas that we're maintaining, the related expenses that we can pursue reimbursements for. So I anticipate to have something put together in April that Mr. Sandine can submit, and I believe that timing is going to be good for him because he was doing some things on his end to get to the point where we could actually submit bills to private utility companies using public rights of way for private purposes.
Now, is there any requirements as to all of that money?
My understanding is general fund monies pay for right-of-way maintenance activities. There was a reimbursement, so that money comes back into the general fund. And I guess I have a bridge update. I had a conversation with Rumpke today. They are very interested in assuming responsibility for the accident, and they were glad to hear that the worst-case scenario is associated with the bridge. Bridge's condition currently exists. There was damage to the actual support structures that are steel, and I told them the projected cost associated with fixing those things currently is a very preliminary $7,000 to $10,000, but they are not running from responsibility, so that's a good sign.
What about any of the
church funds
that
you
have? Money that might be coming back?
Yes, the American. I have an update with the American Rescue Plan Act money. If you're a municipality that received less than a total $10 million allocation, you can put those monies into your current fiscal year budget. So the second tranche for Galena is expected in April or May. That's going to be $35,000 that you can put right into the general fund.
Another thought on that is Suzanne and I will be attending a training in April and May to get it, and that is one of the items they're going to be covering, so it might give us some better ideas of what we can use it for, because we weren't sure exactly what we could, whether it's for anything, so because originally when we took the money, we had thought we would use it for the sewer, so we just need to kind of look into what types of things, and they're supposed to go over that in the training we're going to.
They had a webinar last week, and they basically, if it's under $10 million, they're just looking to get rid of this money, and they're worried about, you know, all the expenditures, you know, in excess of $10 million. So for small local governments like Galena, you can use it for paving, you can use it for employee salaries, you can use it for anything in general fund.
Just a couple things. Let's see, we did 116 ACH sewer payments. So that shows that we've really gotten a lot of people onto ACH. We processed 50 late letters. We have gotten quite a few payments in since we sent the letters out. We did send out 6 letters. We had audited the retreats of dust of subdivision and found out that some of the new residents had never set up their sewer account. So we've been contacted by 4 of them, and they have paid their past balances. So we're just waiting on the other 2 to contact us. We met with Kate Nelson, and Adam Hansberry was also there from First Commonwealth Bank, and just to get an update on the interest rate and potential investments, because our CD was coming due on April 2nd. And right now the rates really aren't doing anything. They predict there's going to be at least probably 6 changes throughout the year. So for right now, we are going to just have the CD cashed in and put into the checking account, and we're going to look into other investments later on. They also suggested maybe Star Ohio, so we're going to look into that to get more information on that, so there might be something later on that we'll be bringing to council. And we've had 4 new residents, and Suzanne's on vacation all this week, so be nice to me.
Approval of the financial statement. Unless there's any questions.
No questions. So. No. Move to approve the financial report.
Thank you. Sorry.
Kathy? Ruben?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
And Zach?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion is passed. Approved financial statement. Payment of those invoices for March. Any questions?
So moved.
Thank you. In a second?
Second.
All right. Hey, this is a hot now here.
Apparently, it's a competition. No, we're throwing it on.
Come on.
The last one of the night carries the biggest weight.
Can I get a roll call, though, please?
Kathy?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
Eric?
Todd? Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
And Zach?
Yes.
Great. What's the best pay the invoices for March? COVID plans report. Any questions about that? Advice on the case? Actually, everybody's going to be fresh and safe when they get mad. And Ted's report was also in here. So this is his first report. So if there's anything more that you would like to let him know. And I just want to say with Ted, he calls me every day, and he is not only just calls me and tells me about what's going on, he comes with solutions all the time. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. We all learn in business, don't come and dump. You know, you want to come with solutions, and he always has solutions. So don't start out and say, okay, this is the issue, and this is what I think. And I really appreciate that. And either I just say, go do it, or talk about it a little further. One of the things today, matter of fact, at around 4 o'clock, he called me and said, hey, you need to make your decisions. There's been a car that has been parked up at Miller Park up by the basketball hoop, by the water tower. I've been there for a week, looked at it, and couldn't get a hold of the owner. And perfect. Perfect. Get it? Oh, gosh. How is that? So we are looking at an issue in the square, and you see the walls that John Harrison worked at pushing that one up against today in Cassidy.
Right,
has volunteered to help Saturday morning for a couple of hours. Come here and help. That wall down.
Anybody
here? You're going to the Arc experience. You're going to the Arc. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Ted. I look forward to having you. I know Tim Urban's going to be there as well. We've got also potentially 2, but for sure 1 volunteer service hours for that one.
Oh, splendid.
I have the other 2 volunteers. I have
Mr. Underwood, would you like to come help the wall on Saturday morning at 8:30?
Snyder's Donuts.
Snyder's Donuts. How you doing? I love everybody.
But I don't think you want everybody there at 8:30, so maybe 8:30.
Right, well, we'll talk about that and get back to you. Whatever your wife says. Right, okay. Your wastewater treatment report is also in there. We'll continue to read here some more resolutions, and the first two are going to be need to be read as an emergency. So resolution number 2022-05, first reading as an emergency, a resolution authorizing a contract with Craft Marketing to provide and maintain the village website during an emergency. So may I get a motion to suspend the rule?
I'll make that motion.
Oh, cool.
I'll make that.
Aaron's the first. Aaron's the second. All right. And roll call vote, please.
Zach.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Motion is passed to read Resolution 2022 as the 05 as the emergency. May I get the motion to adopt Resolution number 2022-05? Kathy.
Yes. Ruben.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Zach.
Yes.
Motion has been adopted and approved as an emergency for Resolution number 2022-05. And a reminder of that is for Mr. Heather Bio, which is to be this evening. Fabulous.
Okay, tomorrow is the deadline.
What's tomorrow the deadline?
I'm covering these people who haven't turned their
time. Okay.
Tomorrow is the deadline.
Mine's been turned in.
All right.
I haven't done
okay, all right. So tomorrow, please. We're trying to move this along. We're moving along here. It's become a first draft, so Eric and Mike and myself are public. Resolution number 2022-06, first reading of emergency, a resolution approving the permanent appropriation budget for calendar year 2022 and declaring an emergency. May I get a motion to suspend the rule for Resolution 2022-05?
So moved.
Thank you very
much. Second.
Thank you, Mike. Can I roll call vote, please?
Zach.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Motion to adopt resolution.
For a second.
Second.
Thank you, Ruben. And roll call vote, please.
Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Zach.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion is passed for resolution number 2022, after 60 minutes of emergency. Resolution number 2022-08 is the first reading. Our reading for a resolution ratifying a contract between the Village of Galena and the Galena Disperse Foundation to hold a flea market in North Park. So John and Sharon will be at the April. I'm going to go ahead and we'll get wrapped back to the special event policy, but I'm going to go ahead and read ordinance number 2022-06. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. This also is to be read as an emergency first reading. Ordinance authorizing execution of a cease document in favor of Ohio Power and American Electric Power and declaring an emergency. May I get a motion?
Motion.
Thank you, Eric. And a second, please.
I'll second.
Thank you, Scott. Roll call vote, please.
Zach.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
So moved. I'm going to give that one to Ruben. I think
okay,
you
do. Ruben's the first. Mike
I'll
second.
Second.
Thank you. We'll call them.
Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Zach.
Yes.
Ordinance number
2022-04, again, to be read as an emergency and ordinance authorizing execution of documents in favor of Ohio Power and American Electric Power Tree Trimming and declaring.
So moved.
Thank you. Ruben, in a second, please.
Second.
Thank you, Mike. Roll call vote, please.
Zach.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Kathy. Ruben.
Yes.
Eric.
So moved.
Thank you, Doug. All right, roll call vote, please.
Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Beth.
Yes.
Great, thank you. Motion has passed and been adopted for emergency ordinance for 2022. I've already sent on Delaware County Regional Planning, and we'll go back to the event. Ruben, I'll do that, and then you can do your BMC.
Okay.
So, talk about that a little bit.
So, the special event policy. So, we're done. Bill had, he and I had met along with the mayor. Most we shared this with you. And so, we have a great consensus of what we're ready for. One of the things he had to get, and Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, the time frame it takes to go through the approval process is one of the things that we don't have. So, I think we discussed on what actually ends up being legislative in nature, which probably needs to take the necessary steps to go through. The approval process, which takes time because we have to have grant with council, but if it's not legislative in nature, then it is something that we want to approve based on that.
So we can approve the motion this evening, in that policy as it stands, because this is probably a moving document that
absolutely
by each event that we will probably have changes, and so if we legislate it, it becomes very challenging.
And time consuming,
yeah. So I felt it would be best recognized in speaking with other municipalities that it changes almost legal things by the event.
Yeah.
And so this evening we can adopt it by motion.
Yes. So I'd like to do that. So if you want to, make a motion tonight to pass that. And if you have any questions or comments, please, this is an opportunity for all of us to, on council, to have a say. And so if have a say, say it. Yes, sir.
Okay, so this might be opening a can of worms. So of all the events last year, it's not this thing was all of the quality.
Well, this is new. They didn't follow it last year, yeah.
But considering the events that we had last year, instead of the only events that were actually allowed.
No.
No. Because that was the only one that did well. That was the judgment at Paul Conway.
There are no qualifications
that
you have to achieve. It's basically just a framework to make sure that with any event that's proposed, the village has the maximum amount of flexibility to support every opportunity for people that want to come together and do good things in Galena. It just kind of, you go through the boxes, do we need public safety, do we need porta potties, do we need, it identifies every potential way that the village can support people wanting to do good things as far as events go.
Because there was no document in place, there was no standard. So they just tried to do the best standards. The event that came to the market, they didn't have that much. But I think Burger Bash and then probably one of the main things that came about, and council voted to have them based on the knowledge that they had in the record.
I think the last question is, do we need to get a completed application 60 days prior, 90 days prior? We thought if potentially if this had to be some sort of ordinance, which can, correct me if I'm wrong, but you indicated that's not necessary.
course. Yeah, I think we'll gridlock on stuff like that.
Maybe 60 days or 90 days prior to...
I say at least 60. Why 90?
3 months.
Yeah. 90 seems like it gives us enough time. Are we going to be that victim of it? Is the...
I think
this is a learning here, and I think the more events we have, I think, you know, especially coming in October, the fall festival, I think this is really just going to be an open door for us to really understand how to have a whole event process. And to your point, that we want to make sure we can think better as possible. So, yeah, I just didn't want to be blocked in. It's got to be 90 days. Everybody comes together.
For a waiver.
Yeah,
absolutely. Agreed.
And the waiver should be.
The waiver will be. So what? I mean, it's a learning, right? So we don't know. This is just. You didn't have your mic on. This is just. I guess. Just that we're very open and transparent with what comes our way. And right now, we don't know. All we know is one event right now.
I think the spirit of the rule is that you have your stuff together and you check a lot of boxes and
exactly.
You propose.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm good with that. Good.
Hey, bottom line is going to be council.
Right.
Good.
Good.
Okay. All right. So today, may I get a motion to accept the special event?
I make a motion to accept the special event.
I will second that.
Okay.
Shall I recuse myself? Anyway,
It's just sad to hear things like that. And the reason why I say it is just kind of think about those guys, because spending time with them, it really gives me firsthand insight to these people who really put their lives on the line for us. And it's so easy to take it for granted. But I just want to call it out because the emotional impact of fatalities, fires, and injuries, what have you, it can be a lot. And so, and I'm going to put a very shameless plug in for an event that we can talk more about, but I'm part of an organization that's actually helping first responders and veterans deal with PTSD. How do we really help them to emotionally cope with what they deal with on the end? Because it's not because they make a lot of money. It's truly for the love of what they do. So I just want to speak that out, having spent some personal time with them.
On the website. I could look this afternoon.
Yes.
There's nothing inspiring other than when you have this guy over to the council page. So I'm going to get his picture.
Yeah, start thinking about it. We'll probably do no later, if not before, next council. We'll get back in there. We've still got to get our maintenance in there. We've got to stand in there. Levi was there that night. So come look at that for like it is. And Monica can actually do that. Yeah, she can do that. But yeah, so we want to get that because we do have some things, even the longer the website's down, the more I have to keep on personal media. Turn everybody over to our great website. So that's gonna be really nice to have. I'm going to forward really important. Well, if anyone has any email me to see if you have any cool ones that would get the best thing. So
there was a date. I think we're still on track. I thought it I don't know if I could claim that title of Mr. Playground, but I used it on that playground committee as a representative of the council. Happy to report back to the council that far exceeded my expectations as far as preparedness from the village. From Sunbury, that were highly interested and were super excited and energetic. A lot of really positive energy behind what's happening in the playground. I'm excited about that. This is one of the things that I really love, so I'm not surprised, but I am excited. And after talking with all heart for those with special needs, specifically involved in the design and of this playground from the beginning, is a big part of this playground. I'm really happy to see that, not just an afterthought, but actually, the leveling of wheelchair access to the playground itself for a separate area. It really changes as far as design, and I'm excited about that. So I guess the greatest takeaway from that is, but now we're collecting and visiting sites and collecting and serving like the playground equipment that is the most used, and like the stuff that all of the kids go to, and constantly. Process, and then the next step is finding the one. Council comes back. Hey, here's what we'd like.
that rolling.
Sure. Absolutely. The next one is, I believe, on the 20th. I thought it was a horrible idea, but that's the day that I made it. So, it's the next day, so.
Any other business?
We're just still waiting. Next call is maybe 7th, so we decided to have a rotating presence. The development needs as they go forward. Shot scene and so, but now we're just holding our breath.
I have received calls about Mike being out on Home Street Miller Park.
Okay.
And also, I think here on Walnut by the Porter Tunnel.
Okay. There was one, I think I mentioned to you guys, that was hit in the state of Blackhawk, and it was 6,000 years, the entire length. And it wasn't just the ball, it was the entire pole. It was up in the... I mean, the whole thing came out of the ground and was flipped upside down in the street.
Are insurance
covered? No. We don't have insurance covered for the
one. They repair a
wall? So we're not actually replacing that one. It's the very first one in the development.
They repaired the wall?
Yeah, we don't have insurance for the license. It's not a category of insurance. So, that would be bad. Better. Okay, everyone, are we good? All right, great. May I get a motion to adjourn?
I will make a motion to get
away here. Hold on before we do this. I want to give a shout out to Bill.
All right.
Internet administrator.
All those in favor to adjourn, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. All right. Thank you. Meeting adjourned at 8:45.
Oh my.
Oh.